Telephone interview with Bruce Burdett, April 29th, 2008, by Kenneth Durr.
All right. Let's start with some of your background. I believe you were trained as an accountant.
That is correct.
Is that right? Went to Wichita State?
Correct.
So how did that lead you into the Kansas Securities Commission?
I spent a significant portion of my career in public accounting doing special utility rate case reviews while in public accounting, actually for the benefit of the Kansas Corporation Commission.
Okay.
And that led to employment with the utilities division of the Kansas Corporation Commission, Kenneth, as the chief's utilities regulatory auditor. And while in that position, at that point in time, I should back up, at that point in time, the Kansas Securities Commissioner was actually a unit within the KCC, the Kansas Corporation Commission.
Okay.
And my supervisor, the director of utilities, a man by the name of Fred Adams, perhaps you don't want all these names.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay, Fred Adams, Adam, I believe it was, not no S, and Dwight Keene was the Kansas Securities Commissioner, and that would have been during the, let me get a time frame here, 70s, mid-70s. And they had a good working relationship, and Dwight had the need for some financial work, and he made the request of Fred, and Fred said, gee, I've got this new chief utilities regulatory auditor. I'll send him down, and maybe he can be of some assistance to you. So over a course of a couple of different projects, I had some interaction with Dwight Keene. And I guess it might make some sense to say that Dwight Keene is the only securities commissioner that I'm aware of in Kansas history that was appointed by one administration and retained by a successor, the other administration. Traditionally, we have a change of security commissioners when we have a change in administrations. So
okay.
Dwight had unique knowledges. He'd spent a couple years, obviously, in the industry with the what was then National Association of Securities Dealers. So had great credentials. He's an attorney, and he was the securities commissioner. So in that period of time that I was employed by the Kansas Corporation Commission Utilities Division, actually worked with Dwight Keene on a couple of securities issues.
Okay.
And I could not tell you today what those were, but they were something that he thought he needed help on at that point in time.
Uh-huh.
So then left the Kansas Corporation Commission, took a position with a municipal-owned utility, and spent a couple years doing that, and then decided it was time to move on. And given the strength of the relationship with Dwight Keene, he had obviously felt good about the work that was done, and he hired me as the chief accountant for the Kansas Securities Commissioner, and that would have been in 1979.
Okay. Now, how much did you know about the Kansas Securities Commission at that point?
Not much. I know I liked the man, and seemed like a worthwhile. I mean, I've obviously heard that, you know, Kansas, the blue sky laws were obviously in recognition of that first decision back in 1910 or 1911 when the judge said, Mr. Promoter, what you're selling is not worth any more than a square foot of Kansas blue sky, and
right.
That Kansas had the first, what some people consider to be the first modern Consumer Protection Act in the nation. Kansas Securities Act.
Okay, so you knew that, and you came in. What kind of work did Mr. Keene put you to?
A variety of work. We did some broker-dealer reviews. We paid a lot of attention to the registration of securities, and he also my predecessor for the Kansas Securities Commissioner had been the chairman of the NASA, North American Securities Administrators Association, mm-hmm. had been the chairman of the NASA Audit Committee. And at that point in time, Kenneth, all the Audit Committee really performed, their only duty was to perform a mini audit of the revenues and expenditures that came in to fund the association for an annual conference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a very low-budget operation, and they needed somebody to just give some comfort to the members. So the Audit Committee, that had been the traditional task of the Audit Committee, was to perform this mini-review of cash inflows and cash outflows.
Okay, and not a terribly difficult job at that point.
Definitely not, and one that Dwight said, gee, your predecessor had been the chairman of this audit committee. Would you want to assume those same responsibilities and explain what the role was? And I said, sure, I'll be glad to help any way I can.
Okay.
So I became, and I believe Harvey Bell, who was the Arkansas Securities Commissioner at that point in time, had just been elected NASA president.
Okay. So that was your first involvement with NASA, was coming into the audit committee.
Correct.
All right. Before we get further into NASA, I want to make sure I haven't missed anything in your chief commissioner's time. It sounds like a lot of what you were doing, and I assume you would have had a staff, is you were doing routine type things, reviews of and registration, things like that.
Absolutely. Trying to coordinate. I think NASA strived to coordinate the registration process amongst the states, trying to create some uniformity. I'm not saying that it was a total success, but it was better than no effort at all.
And this was in the early period, 1979?
Right.
In there.
Right, 1970. My term with the Kansas Securities Commission was 79 through 82.
Okay. All right. While you were working with the Kansas Securities Commissioner, did you do any investigative type work or anything like that?
Absolutely. We did some... We busted some boiler rooms.
Yeah. How did that work?
That was very gratifying. The commissioner hired a former Kansas Bureau of Investigation agent, and that person really went underground, if that's the right word, went undercover, I guess is the better term,
right.
Kenneth, and really got inside, not as a employee, but certainly as a prospective employee of the boiler rooms, and learned what was going on, and we busted them. I mean, we came in with uniformed officers, and we shut them down, and then it became the responsibility of the accounting staff to take the books and records that we seized in those situations, Kenneth, and actually made a case, and we did several of those, put several boiler rooms out of operation that had been operating in the state of Kansas. It pumps. The adrenaline was pumping pretty good when you go in on those situations.
I'll bet. What kind of staff did you have at this point?
Oh, maybe one, two, three, four, maybe five.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, something about Kansas. I was talking to Jeff Bartell.
Yes, sir.
And he talked a little bit about merit states, and you know, some states sort of worked under a system of merit review of the securities, and that those tended to be members of the Midwest
Securities Commissioners Association.
Right. And I was wondering if Kansas was a member of that group.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. At that point in time, and I believe Jeff Bartell, to help you with NASA, mm-hmm. and maybe you've got this from other people, and if I'm wrong, just discard it, but I think Jeff Bartell was the immediate predecessor to Harvey Bell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, he was in there about 79, I think.
Right.
At NASA.
Right. And Jeff, I believe, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin was definitely a strong merit state, and there was a association of the Midwest Securities Commissioners Association, all of which happened to be merit, adopted the state law provided for a merit form of regulation.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Kansas a strong merit state as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about how that... most people are used to the the idea of disclosure as being the main means of regulation. What were you looking at that was different?
It was more paternalistic. It had to be fair, just, and equitable. Excessive amounts of cheap stock, although cheap stock could be cured by escrowing it. The idea was to really be a little bit more paternalistic. It goes beyond full disclosure. It actually tries to structure a little bit more advantageous position for the public investor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other enforcement type actions that you would have been involved in during your time as chief accountant?
No, they were several boiler rooms involving oil and gas, as I recall, were the most frequent type of securities that were supposedly being offered.
Okay. And they may or may not have existed.
Absolutely. May have been an absence of any lease anywhere.
Yeah. Did you ever work with the SEC in getting guidance or sharing information?
Although there would be some people that you might speak with that really did have involvement. I believe there was some, Kenneth, but really did not have in my role on the enforcement cases.
Okay.
I think later on there were some cohesive activities undertaken between the states and the SEC.
Okay.
I think there was some greater information sharing. Nothing that I worked on a enforcement case.
Okay. Well, you talked a little bit about your early involvement with NASA and doing this audit, which was a pretty straightforward
that's
thing.
That's right.
So
pretty limited scope engagement.
So the sense I get is this was a pretty small organization.
Absolutely.
Now, had it been based in Kansas?
Yes.
Okay.
In recognition of the fact that Kansas was the first state with a state securities law, when NASA was incorporated, it chose to be a Kansas corporation.
Okay, and was there an office?
At that point, 1979, there was not.
Okay. So it was sort of a virtual organization.
That's right, and it was simply based upon people on the staff, the commissioners and the staffs of the states that really sought to devote some portion of the human resource that they had to some type of group activities that would be beneficial to the investing public.
What kinds of things was NASA able to accomplish working that way?
Maybe some degree of uniformity in regulation. Somebody from the Blue Sky Bar might say there was a total lack of uniformity, but there was some attempt to make things more uniform from a regulatory perspective.
Mm-hmm.
NASA, now I'm probably jumping forward.
That's okay.
No, I'm not. About that time period, NASA had been writing guidelines that would hopefully be used by the state securities regulators and would be a uniform approach. I mean, there was a REIT guideline. There were real estate investment trust guidelines. Many of these were for direct participation programs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there was some concentrated effort. There were documents developed that hopefully led to some degree of greater uniformity amongst the states.
Mm-hmm. How did you work through a committee system or something like that?
Yes, mm-hmm. Largely committee system.
Okay. And I assume you would meet at the annual meeting and maybe at a few other occasions.
Well, our time frame becomes somewhat relevant. Prior to 1979,
okay,
NASA essentially had no money.
Uh-huh.
It had a little bit of seed money from one conference that would be available to fund the next conference.
Right.
In 1979, NASA, Harvey Bell, took a handful of people that were involved in the licensing process of agents,
uh-huh,
and suggested they get together at a central meeting site, spend some time over the weekend, and try to come up with some questions that all the participants, these would be the people writing questions. I mean, 1978, it was essentially a pencil paper process for being licensed as a securities agent. There might have been some reciprocity between the states, but it was pretty hit and miss. If I wanted to be an agent in Kansas, I took a pencil paper exam. If I wanted to be an agent in Missouri because I had clients over there, I took a pencil paper exam for the state of Missouri, both of which were intended to demonstrate to the security commissioners in the respective states that I was knowledgeable about state securities law.
Right. So if you wanted to work all over the country, you'd take a lot of exams.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Tremendous replication of effort with no greater, One exam was not particularly any better than another exam.
Mm-hmm.
That's speculation. I didn't take multiple exams. So 1979, and I really don't know who deserves credit. I don't know if it was Jeff Bartel that was the visionary, and Harvey Bell just happened to be the person that inked the contract, or if Harvey Bell was the visionary. But somewhere between those two individuals, mm-hmm. they realized that there's this tremendous replication of effort. We're really burdening those who willingly submit to regulation, and we need to have a uniform system. So it was actually during Harvey's tenure that people got together, predominantly on a weekend or what time they contributed while on the clock for their respective employer state, and developed a set of uniform questions.
Mm-hmm.
And Harvey went to the NASD, said, look, we want to create a uniform exam that all the states will accept, and they inked a contract between NASA and the NASD that the NASD would administer the exam, and boom, now NASA had a funding source.
Hmm. The exam fees.
Exactly.
Okay.
And initially, while it was very material in relationship to the revenues that NASA had previously enjoyed, it still was pretty paltry in absolute dollars, but it was a lot more than they'd received before. So the good news is those exam fees, the number of agents being licensed increased, and the number of states requiring the Uniform Securities Agent state law exam continued to increase, and NASA then had over a period of years, a very strong and renewable funding source.
Was there an increase in securities agents nationwide because of this? You would think that since it got easier, that may have been the case.
I don't know if there was an increase nationwide in the number of agents, but there became a trend for agents to be licensed in a multitude of states.
Mm-hmm.
If all I have to do, if I'm a big producer, if I'm an agent that's a big producer, and I have a client that moves from Kansas to Kentucky, gee, pay $50 more in Kentucky fees and keep that client.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there was a real trend towards agents becoming licensed in a multitude of states.
I see. Okay.
So the state fee, if somebody put together a historical perspective of the agent licensing fees over the last 20 years, I think there would be a tremendous growth in the fees that the states have collected. Not, mm-hmm. First of all, the rates have increased over time,
mm-hmm.
but simply because we have an agent that perhaps 25 years ago was registered in 3 states, now is registered in 15 states.
Right.
Because she or he has clients moving to those other states.
And it becomes more realistic for the agent to follow them, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, so you talked about the funding coming into NASA with this new test and these new fees that you see building up over time. What did NASA do with the funding? What did they do with that money that they were getting in new?
They did place an emphasis on enforcement. They used the dollars to fund states coming together on joint enforcement actions. That was one objective. They actually they were broken down into multiple sections. I think we had 3 or 4 sections. Oh boy, this is a stretch. Boy, somebody else should be able. That's closer to it. They broke it down. I know we had an enforcement section. We probably had a securities registration section, and that would be the section that dealt with trying to develop these uniform guidelines, Kenneth.
Okay.
And I don't know if there was a licensing section. That I don't have that recall.
Yeah, I'm sure we can look up those specifics.
Yeah, there were multiple sections, and the dollars were allocated to those sections.
Okay.
And then expended on those types of projects.
And most, the fundamental here was that everybody was trying to work toward uniformity.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That and joint enforcement action. It doesn't do the citizens of the nation any good for Kansas to shut down a boiler room if the people simply migrate to Missouri.
Right.
We really haven't accomplished too much. Yes, we've moved them out of Kansas, and we've protected Kansas citizens, but we really haven't done anything to shut the people down. So there were some joint enforcement actions, or maybe it was really somebody was scattered across the nation, and somebody in California, their investigators got wind of it, and they realized, no, they're not just in California. They're making calls to Nevada and Utah as well, or New Mexico. So there was this sharing of information between the states, between the state security regulators.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I gather that at some point in here, your work with NASA increased, that you got more involved in the organization.
Yes, sir. Because NASA was now having a funding stream of some size. Harvey Bell thought that, and because most of the commissioners were attorneys, he felt it would be advantageous to have at the board meetings, that the board, NASA board met quarterly, to have somebody there with a financial background. So he invited the chairman of the audit committee to come to all the board meetings.
Okay.
And because the chairman of the audit committee was a staff person and everybody else around the table was a commissioner, there were a host of projects assigned to the audit committee that traditionally you might think was outside the scope of what an audit committee would do.
Right.
One of those projects that sticks in my mind was a policy and procedures manual. Why an audit committee should prepare a policy and procedures manual, I don't know, but that was the project that was assigned to us.
Yeah.
So Nancy Jones was one of my colleagues on the audit committee. She was actually on Harvey Bell's staff, a very bright lady. Nancy Jones, and I couldn't tell you who the other member of the committee was, and I worked to assemble a policy and procedures. If I'm giving you too much details, just stop me.
No, it's great.
Okay. Nancy and I worked, and the other member of the committee worked to develop this policy and procedures manual, and as NASA had historically operated, we gave it to the administrative staff of the Kansas Securities Commissioner's Office, or one of the states, but since I was chairing it, I gave it to my colleagues on the Kansas Securities Commissioner staff and said, here's this 100 pages of manual notes. Would you please type this up in some appropriate format so it can be distributed to the members of NASA? Well, that languished, and nothing happened. So I approached my wife, who was a stay-at-home mom, very talented lady, and said, gee, Linda, NASA has bought this dedicated word processor. It's sitting in the office of the Kansas Securities Commissioner. I think we can trust these guys. I think they'll be fair with you. Would you take these 100 pages of manual notes and create a policy and procedures manual out of them? So she did, and the NASA board loved it, and they said, gee, Linda, that's really nice. We've got this other project. We'd like you to do this other project as well. So there was this other project, and I couldn't tell you what it was, Kenneth, but then this other project, they said, gee, this is nice. Why don't we just hire you part-time? Would you come to work for us as our first employee? So she did.
Okay.
So part-time. Part-time became full-time. Full-time became Linda plus another individual here in town by the name of Barbara Bramble. Barbara Bramble became part-time, then full-time. And at that point in time, probably 1982, Dwight Keene kind of pressed the issue and said, gee, guys, gals, NASA works best because we all contribute some of our resources, but I'm contributing a very significant portion of one of my staff person's time, and I'd like the citizens of Kansas to get the benefit of 100% of his time instead of some smaller fraction. Why don't you go out and hire an executive director for NASA, and let me get my staff person back 100% of the time.
And he was talking about you.
He was, indeed.
Yeah, okay.
So the NASA membership liked that, and so then the NASA board came to me and said, Bruce, Dwight's kind of pushing this issue. You've been doing this for a couple of years, assuming these responsibilities, and would you want to come to work for NASA's executive director?
Hmm.
So I did.
Hmm. Was that a tough decision to make?
It was a very easy decision to make.
Why is that?
I loved the work. I loved working with people. I thought we were doing something that was beneficial to the citizens of the states. I liked working with the regulators.
Okay.
I thought they were a very dedicated group of individuals. Obviously, some were more enthused than others about their responsibilities, but by and large, I thought they were men and women that really cared about discharging the responsibilities. They were, some of them were political appointees, but by and large, they took their role very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Were certain states or certain people tended to be more active than others? And
absolutely. It was a volunteer organization.
Right.
And in any volunteer organization, you'll have people that want to assume more of a leadership role, and it was the same with NASA.
Did the role of the president, for example, change over time? Did the president become, you know, more active or less as you took over?
Once I was an employee, I think the NASA president became very active. I think he or she, I go back to Jeff Bartel, and I really don't know Jeff very well and didn't have the working relationship with Jeff, but I think that the role of NASA president, even before they had money, involved a significant amount of additional time that the men and women that held that position devoted to their regulatory responsibilities. And certainly Harvey Bell and his successors that I had the opportunity to work with, Mike Unger, who was the Mass Securities Commissioner, David, oh boy, this is horrible. Can't come up with the last name. Anyway, they were men and women that cared about it, cared about regulation, cared about trying to create uniformity, cared about coordinating activities between the states and the SEC. They were all people that cared.
Okay.
And the president did take on quite a bit of responsibility.
Yeah. I mean, before you started setting up this office, obviously, the president had all the responsibility.
Absolutely.
For whatever small organization it was. I want to talk a little bit about the initiatives that you were taking then once you got the office set up. And that gets to the idea of the central registration
repository.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about where that came from and how that project evolved.
Oh, I don't know who I would point to as being the visionary, but obviously it is probably one of the stellar accomplishments between the states, creating a centralized system. I mean, just like we took one step by getting away from pencil and paper and doing a replication of effort. I don't know, it might have been Lewis Brothers.
Virginia. Right.
Virginia, that really might be the visionary that saw the need for that centralized system.
Well, tell me a little bit. Let's back up a little bit and give me a sense of what the need was. What was the problem that was trying to be solved here?
Every state was doing the same thing. I mean, every state had their own system to try to maintain this database of who was a registered agent in their state.
Mm-hmm.
Licensing process. I mean, we're doing it 50 times. If I happen to be an agent, a big agent, that's a big producer, happen to be registered in all states, well, I've got 50 times people are entering that person's name in their database.
Mm-hmm.
50 times that they have to, I mean, everything is just the replication of effort across the states was tremendous. And somebody recognized that there's got to be a better way. So the CRD system, that was the solution. I see it as a replication of effort problem.
Okay.
Or opportunity to do better.
Okay. Did this have any similar effects to the Uniform Securities Agent exam? Did it in any way help build up NASA?
NASA, I don't think, got any additional revenues because of the CRD.
Okay.
I think the fact that we saw a success, that hopefully the industry, the SEC, and the states all saw that, that this was a good idea to have this uniform exam, maybe that helped spawn the idea that we had need to have a centralized registration system.
Okay. But this was a NASA, this was a NASA undertaking, so this would have been a, an early success, I guess.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Again, in coordination with,
Yeah, and obviously in coordination with all the states.
Right.
Well, you're executive director, and I want to get, and you talked about, you know, the president's being important and having an important role, but I do want to get a sense of how much the officers, the board members, were driving the agenda for you and your office, and how much were you able to sort of look around and see what needed to be done and undertake special projects, things like that?
They provided substantial direction. I guess one project where it was really self-initiated is that Commerce Clearinghouse had the publication Blue Sky. I'm not certain that's what they call it. They had a publication about the Blue Sky laws. And we had various people that would go to these industry personnel that would go to these conferences or not go to the conferences, but wanted to know what was taking place within NASA. So of our own initiative, we created what was called NASA Reports, and it was just a loose-leaf service. And we did that for several years, simply operated out of the administrative offices, the corporate office. And then during Royce Griffin's term, Griffin was the securities regulator for the state of Colorado, had been in Arkansas for a number of years, so he saw a merit form of regulation, but then went to Colorado as the securities commissioner. And it was actually during Royce's term that he inked a contract with Commerce Clearinghouse for them to publish what we had, same document, NASA Reports, kept the same name, but kind of kept people informed of what was going on within the association.
Okay.
So I take some personal credit for that. Roy signed the contract, but it was because we had created the project internally in the corporate office. There were some forms, licensing forms that we handled out of the corporate office, distributed to the states. This was during Richard Malgram, was the Wisconsin commissioner at that point in time. I know we were very active with him. And I couldn't tell you what the licensing form was, but we mailed out lots of them. The board really set the agenda for what happened in the corporate office. They were the drivers. We were trying to be responsive, be supportive of their needs.
Okay. And again, I guess the NASA is still using this working group or committee system to undertake significant projects. Is that right?
Kenneth, I've been away from the association for 20 years.
Yeah, well, I guess while you were the director.
Yeah. Very much. There were sections, as I recall, there were four sections, and each section had a variety of committees within the registration section. There would have been a REIT committee or a real estate committee or an oil and gas committee, and each of those committees were staffed by 5 to 7 members from across the nation, members of the various state securities commissions.
So these were more or less standing committees.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Most of them were. Some were formed ad hoc and existed a year, and then maybe went out of existence.
Well, how did so you're the executive director during, I guess, most of the 80s, right?
82 through 87.
Right.
In 1987, NASA decided to move the corporate office to Washington, D.C. Made lots of sense, and they moved, and I did not. Lynn and I did not.
Okay. Didn't want to uproot that significantly.
I'll just try to. I'll be noncommittal on that.
You don't want to say negative things about Washington, D.C.?
It had nothing to do with Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I'm just being noncommittal. NASA moved and we did not.
Okay. All right. Well, tell me a little bit about the transition that the office went through during that period, 82 to 87, was the office, when you stepped down, significantly larger? Had its mission been redefined at all?
Oh, in 1987?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over your period as executive director, I just want to get a sense of...
I think while I was affiliated with NASA, the role expanded. The membership wanted more and more out of the staff, and I think that's part of the reason, the corporate staff, and I think that's part of the reason they wanted to go to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they realized that to be effective, we need to be a player with the SEC.
Right.
We need to have stronger interaction with the SEC. How can we have interaction with the SEC when our corporate office is 1,800 miles away?
Okay.
We need to be in the same city. If we want to be a participant with them, we need to be in the same city where their headquarters is located. Okay. I think moving the office to Washington, D.C. made perfect sense.
Okay. So I guess this became apparent as time went by.
That's right.
This was something... Okay. Any specific incidences or specific issues that raise that problem in particular?
I don't recall of any specifics.
Okay.
NASA has two large meetings a year. They have all these committees, but twice a year they would do conferences. The spring conference would always be in Washington, D.C., and the intent there was to provide for greater interaction between the commissioners and members of the SEC,
okay,
and or the NASD, or for those members that had wanted to speak to their congressional personnel, provided that opportunity.
Okay. Any other significant initiatives that you undertook or that you helped move forward during your time as executive director?
There was some recognition that our registration process for securities registration had significant regulatory lag in the process. I mean, we were doing everything by U.S. mail. We had Graphic Scanning Corporation at that point in time had what you and I would call a fax machine today, but had placed a fax machine in each of the state securities commissioner's office at no cost to the commissioners. And Wayne Howell was the Georgia commissioner, and probably from a technology perspective in the early 1980s, probably as far advanced as any of the other, as any commissioners, and he realized that this was probably not the greatest, he realized there was an opportunity for improvement, Kenneth, and it didn't go very far with the NASA membership, but just as there had been this stride made on licensing of, first of all, the first step was the USASLEs. We came up with a uniform exam. Then the CRD, the Central Registration Depository. I mean, the next logical step was to do something like that on the securities registration side. It never got very far.
Okay. And why didn't it get very far?
Apathy. Not everybody was as intent. There was not uniformity on, I mean, I guess maybe maintaining the status quo was thought to be acceptable.
I guess it didn't appear to be a big problem that needed to be solved.
No.
Okay.
It obviously today we realize, I mean, anybody that comes from a foreign country and,
Right.
I got to deal with 51 regulators.
Right. Okay. All right. So did your wife work on the staff then the whole time?
Yes. Okay. Yes. She was the first NASA employee, and
stayed in there till 87.
Stayed through 87.
Okay.
Must have started maybe 1980.
Okay.
I joined NASA in 82.
How did your background as an accountant help you do this job for NASA?
Oh, probably pretty strong emphasis in public accounting about organizational work papers, trying to keep things organized. You're dealing with lots of different personalities. Public accounting, you're dealing with different personalities. You're trying to develop positive relationships with people with different interests and different perspectives, and it is somewhat diverse. So most of it was human relations, but I'd say Dwight Keene always pointed out the strength of my personal organizational skills, so maybe that was a skill that helped. Obviously, the financial perspective, that gave some comfort to the NASA board. They ended up having some money to invest, and of course, I was responsible for that as assistant treasurer, and they felt good about that, so some training in the some experience in finance certainly was beneficial there. You know, the successors, if you looked at the successors, they were looking for different skill sets. In 1988, when they moved the office to Washington, D.C., they hired a former U.S. congressman as their executive director. So they were looking for a different skill set. They felt like they didn't need, or they wanted a different focus. They wanted to be a much more active player and wanted somebody that they thought had contacts or the ability to influence or at least gain access to people of power. So the focus changed somewhat.
Right. Something of a natural progression, I
guess. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it made perfect sense to move the office to Washington, D.C. And to try to foster better relationships with the SEC, with the congressional personnel.
Back in the late 70s, did every state have membership on NASA?
That's a great question. Technically, yes. Uh-huh. However, there were some states that were really not plugged in. Actually, you're aware of the NASA membership is all 50 states, Mexico, Puerto Rico, District of Columbia, for three more, plus what was then the 12 Canadian provinces and territories.
Right.
So you had 65 members. I guess today we have 13. We have 13 Canadian provinces and territories,
right,
don't we?
Yep, they made a new one.
Right. Northwest Territory, I think, was split into two.
Right.
So that's the membership. And absolutely, Kenneth, there were some states were highly engaged, and there were some that didn't even bother to attend the conferences.
Now, was this a function of the kind of regulatory regime the states had, or was it personality? Or?
I think it was personality.
Okay.
Some people felt like, gee, my responsibility is to the citizens of Kansas, and I don't want my staff being their time being devoted to projects that don't not directly what was perceived not to directly benefit their state.
Did that change over time?
Yes, it did. The stronger the NASA financing, the stronger the revenue stream, the stronger the opportunity to participate in functions. There became somewhat of a strong desire to participate on NASA committees, and obviously all members, just as we're all different individuals, everybody's level of commitment to a committee was not the same. You had people that were highly engaged, and you had people that were only there for the fun.
Right. Okay. Mission-wise, though, I guess, did the organization still have pretty much the same mission when you left as when you started?
Yes. Promote uniformity, pretty strong emphasis on enforcement actions.
Anything else that we should talk about as far as your experiences with NASA or with the Kansas Securities Commission? Things I've missed.
You could go down the list of presidents of NASA, and you could speak to each one, and they would give you probably a different perspective, somewhat different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think Richard Latham was a very interesting individual. He was the Texas Securities Commissioner, was a member of the Midwest Securities Commissioners Association. You know, he was the individual that cast the deciding vote. I guess he was president of Midwest and only had to vote on its demise in case of a tie, and he made that decision and realized that we have one organization that had money, we had another organization that didn't, and everybody that was a member of the Midwest had the ability to be a member of NASA, or they were, you know, they could participate in NASA.
Mm-hmm.
They were de facto, I mean, they were members simply because of their position, so he cast the deciding vote to disband the Midwest Securities Commissioners Association. He's a very, very interesting individual. You know, you could visit each one of the commissioners and get a different perspective on what it accomplished and how it has grown and how it has interacted with the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything else. I guess I'm kind of rambling here.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific. And so you stayed on. I guess you went into a different state administration positions.
Okay. Well, actually, the 2 years after NASA moved to Washington D.C., moved the corporate office to Washington D.C., I took a personal venture, and I think that there was this tremendous opportunity for a better form of communication on the registration of securities. I created a couple of corporations and privately held corporations and sought to develop a network that would allow the members of the Blue Sky Bar to interact electronically with the 50 state securities regulators and maintain a database of all the registration activities, all the communications that took place between the commissioner's staff and the members of the Blue Sky Bar. But it was not a success, and one of the regulators was frankly was finally frank with me and said, "Bruce, you know, this is a great idea, although it takes all the regulatory lag out of the process." And I like that because everything was instantaneous. I mean, it's just like today. I mean, we send an email. You send me an email that I can respond to five minutes later if I'm sitting at my PC, right?
Right.
Well, that takes all the regulatory lag, and that's really what the system did. It created, it eliminated the regulatory lag, the U.S. mail, and some of the commissioners from a commissioner was pretty candid with me and said, you know, your system takes out all the regulatory lag, and I need that regulatory lag for my staff and I to consider these issues. So it was not a success, but that's okay. That's part of life. We all take various activities, and some of them are successful, some are not. And you are correct. After that, moved on to some other areas, and thankful to for the current responsibilities, and thankful for the time I had with NASA. I look back on it and say, you know, that that was real enjoyable, and I think we accomplished some things for the citizens of Kansas, and perhaps helped citizens in other states as well.
It must be have been an interesting perspective to be in there on the ground floor and to really build it up from a virtual organization to something much larger.
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, great. I've taken a good bit of your time, and I think
no problem.
We've covered all the bases. Thank you very much.
You bet, Kenneth.
All right.
It's been a pleasure.